Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Daita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vinda.
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 Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Daita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Daita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
This morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter number 7, entitled Lord Chaitanya in 5 Features, text number 121. Vyasera
Vyasera
Sutrete
Sutrete
Kohe
Kohe
Parinama
Parinama
Vade
Vade
Vada
Vada
Vyasara Sutrete Kohe Parinama 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 Vada.
Ooh. It's harmony. Vyasa
Vyasa
Vranta
Vranta
Bali
Bali
Tara
Tara
Uthaila
Uthaila
Vivada
Vivada
Vyasa Vranta Bali Tara Uthaila Va Vivada
Vyasa Vranta Bali Tara
Vyasara Sutrete Kohe Parinama Vada
Vyasara Sutrete Kohe Parinama Vada
Vyasa Vranta Balitara Uthaila Vivada
Vyasa Vranta Balitara Uthaila Vivada
Vyasara Sutrete
Of
Srila Vyasadeva Sutrete in the aphorisms
Kahe
describes
Parinama
transformation
Vada
philosophy
Vyasa
Srila Vyasadeva Vranta
mistaken
Bali,
Bali
accusing him.
Tara,
his.
Uthaila,
raised.
Vivada,
opposition. In his Vedanta Sutra, Srila Vyasadeva has described that everything is but a transformation of the energy of the Lord. Shankaracharya, however, has misled the world by commenting that Vyasadeva was mistaken. Thus, he has raised great opposition to theism throughout the entire world. Responsively, please repeat. In his Vedanta Sutra, Srila Vyasadeva has described
that everything
is but a transformation
of the energy of the Lord.
Of the energy of the Lord.
Shankaracharya, however,
has misled the world
by commenting that Vyasadeva
was mistaken.
Thus he has raised great opposition
to theism
throughout the entire world. We are now going to attempt to read and commentate on this huge purport by Srila Prabhupada in no less than 35 minutes. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, in the Vedanta Sutra of Srila Vyasadeva, it is definitely stated that all cosmic manifestations result from transformations of various energies of the Lord. Shankaracharya, however, not accepting the energy of the Lord, thinks that it is the Lord who is transformed. He has taken many clear statements from the Vedic literature and twisted them to try to prove that if the Lord or the Absolute Truth were transformed, his oneness would be disturbed. Thus he has accused Srila Vyasadeva of being mistaken. In developing his philosophy of monism, therefore, he has established Vivartavada, or the Mayavada theory of illusion. So, you know the history. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. He explained the scriptures, manifested his lila, and then a short time after his disappearance, people misunderstood and misinterpreted his words, and they began to use the scripture to verify or to support their desires for sense gratification, especially eating of meat. I have no idea why people would want to eat meat if they had such wonderful prasadam as we enjoy, or as any experienced vegetarian enjoys. But somehow or other, there are people who they belong in tiger bodies. They don't belong in human bodies. They want to enjoy blood, actually. Not only meat, but they want blood. And they are demons. So they used the scripture to justify this, saying that Brahmins sacrificed animals, and for we will also sacrifice animals and eat them. Of course, this is a twisted form of the truth. Brahmins did sacrifice an animal, or perhaps a few animals, but they gave those animals new bodies, and it was not for the purpose of meat eating, it was for the purpose of testing the potency of their chanting. But taking this truth, they've twisted it and opened slaughterhouses, and they, especially Prabhupada comments in Bengal, they'll open a slaughterhouse and keep a picture of Durga Devi on the pretext that now it is all Kali Prasad, Durga Prasad. If people are inclined to cheat, there's nothing you can do about it. Matirna Krishna Paratasvatova Mitovi Bhadya Vidriya Pratana Madanta Gobir Vishatat Tamishram Hunapunas Charvita Charvananam. That's what they want. You can try to convince them by sweet words, by example, by philosophy, but they're simply belligerent. They want to go down and down, Danta Govya, and puna puna charita charvananam. They chew the chew. So, Shankaracharya, or rather Lord Buddha, he appeared to stop this animal killing because it is described that anyone can understand Krishna consciousness. Anyone can make progress in spiritual life. Striyo vaishyastata sudraste piyanti param gatim. Right there we find everybody in Kali Yuga. Striya, Vaishya, Sudra. We're all in one of those categories, or all of those categories. But we can attain the highest goal of love of God. So Lord Buddha appeared to stop animal killing because there's only one person, Pashugnat, Pashu meaning animal, Pashugnat meaning animal killer. There's only one category that can't understand Krishna consciousness, and that is an animal killer. Now you may say, well, hey, I was animal killer personified. I eat at McDonald's every day, or something like that. I know people who say, devotees who say in their lives, they never ate vegetables, they always ate meat. They literally, their family didn't serve vegetables. But they stopped animal killing. And then they were able to understand Krishna consciousness. It's not that they ate a steak while reading Bhagavad Gita or something like that. They had to stop first. So Buddha came and he got people to stop killing animals by saying there's no God and reject the Vedas. So therefore their excuse for eating meat was removed. The Vedas were no longer valid authority, but ahimsa paro dharma, only non-violence, is the highest dharma. There are many people today who follow Buddhism, they like the principles of Buddhism. Because compassion and nonviolence are described as being part of the tenets of Buddhism. So they like that. So they, if you ask them on an employment form or something, they'll say they're Buddhist. Actually, they're simply rascals. They're not Buddhist at all. But I think there's some famous one. I think Boy George is now a Buddhist. And there are other celebrities like that. Who are some other ones? Oh, Richard Gere, yeah. Huh? Leonard Cohen. Yeah, Leonard. How do you know Leonard Cohen? He's long before your birth. He is my generation. Ma Duty's relative. Suzanne, right? Takes you down to a boat on the river and she drowns you. Anyway. I think Allen Ginsberg, he lived in a Buddhist monastery in upstate New York. But Vaishnavas don't give very much importance to Buddhism because it's full of holes. The whole philosophy is nonsensical. They say the creation is eternal. There's no need for a creator. But then they turn around and say that annihilation is the goal. So if the creation is eternal, where's the question of annihilation? It doesn't make sense. They say that compassion is, showing compassion is one of the ideals of a good Buddhist. But compassion is a relative term, especially in the context that they're speaking, material compassion. I can show compassion to, say, the people in Gujarat who suffered from the earthquake, but they can't show compassion to me. You know, someone who is better off than you or senior to you, you can't show compassion to them. They can show compassion to you. So it's a relative conception, and there are many other holes in their philosophy like that. But anyway, stop cow killing. Then Shankaracharya came along and he taught a philosophy similar to Buddhism. Instead of it's all zero, he said it's all one. Very close. He couldn't have gone from zero to two, so he went from zero to one. And it's all one. Still, there's no personal God, but reestablish the Vedas, just like I was talking. There's a big similarity between Buddhists and New Agers. I was talking to one New Age fellow in Brazil. And I couldn't pin him down because he just had a huge imagination and an answer for everything. So finally I said, well, how long is this table? And he said, 2 feet. And I said, well, maybe it's 20 feet. I don't know. You have to have a ruler to know that it's 20 feet. You have to have some yardstick to know something. So Shankaracharya preached, you must have an authority. The Vedas are the standard authority. So he came to establish the Vedas and to reject Buddhism, but he was Lord Shiva also. What is that? Bodham Prachanam Uchate Mayaiva Vitam De Kalo Brahmana Murtina. In the form of a Brahmana, he will come to teach a philosophy similar to Buddhism. He's telling to Parvati. I don't know, Lord Shiva tells everything to his wife. It's like an ordinary couple, or so. They're not ordinary. Tadiyanam Samachanam Tajmat Paratharam tells his wife that of all kinds of worship, Vishnu worship is supreme. But, he says, Tajmat Paratharam Devi, calls his wife Devi, Parvati Devi, Durga Devi. So you'll find often that an Indian husband will call his wife Devi. And tells her that he's going to appear as Lord Buddha. I'm sorry, as Shankaracharya. And it's definitely a leela. We're reading here that he criticizes Vyasadeva. Now, Vyasadeva is an empowered incarnation of Krishna. Although he's Jiva Tattva, but he's empowered. He's Shakti of Asia. And, of course, Lord Shiva is his own tattva above Jiva tattva. So, he is superior, but at the same time, he's not acting in that role. Vyasadeva is acting as Krishna's representative. Therefore, he's acting in a superior role, and he should not criticize him like that. But because they're discussing or philosophy is what he's saying, he's not saying Vyasadeva is inferior, he's saying his philosophy is inferior. And he did describe, it's not that he just criticized, but he wrote his Sharirak Asya, which Shankaracharya is very famous for. In fact, the Sharirak Vasya, initially it appeared that it was the only commentary on Vedanta Sutra, although Prabhupada said that Vaishnavas understood that the Bhagavad Purana is Vyasadeva's own commentary. There's no need, but Shankaracharya gave his Sharirak Vasya. And then Ramanuja and Madhva both wrote commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra. It's not a Vaishnava's favorite scripture because it doesn't talk, or it doesn't describe directly the Absolute Truth. It talks in code form, and it describes the Absolute Truth is everything that you know it not to be, and all little indirect meanings and descriptions. So, Vyasadeva, Lord Shiva, Shankaracharya, he wrote his Govinda Vasya. He criticized Vyasadeva, but he wrote why. So here we find that Srila Prabhupada and, of course, Lord Chaitanya, they both criticized Shankaracharya and explained why his Sharir Bhasya is simply common. It's simply speculation, or it's wrangling, jugglery of words. The direct meaning is not taken in Sanskrit. It is very important. One of the rules of Sanskrit is to take something, the first thing is you take the direct meaning, and only when it is not possible to understand it clearly by the direct meaning, then you can go for interpretation. But otherwise, you take it on face value. For example, there's so many aphorisms that cow dung is, for example, pure, whereas the stool of an animal is impure. So we accept it. There's no need. It's very clear what the Vedas are saying, that cow dung can be used to purify the kitchen. Cow dung, although it's stool, but it's stool of a cow, a holy animal. So we just accept it. But if you want to do research, you'll find it's true. But there's no need. You just accept it and you save a lot of time. The Vedas are very vast. The conclusions reached in the Vedas, one can just accept the version of the spiritual master or of the acharyas, or if he wants to go through the Vedas, there are a lot of Vedas and one has to come to a conclusion of all of them. It's very difficult. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna that whatever you have in a small pond, Yavan Artha Udapane Sarvata Samplutodake Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanata. Whatever you can do in a small pond, you can do in a large reservoir of water. You can wash your laundry in a small pukur, but in a large reservoir of water, you can also go bathing, you can also swim, you can sail a boat, get water supply for the village, whatever it is. You can't do that in a small pond. So whatever you can do understanding Krishna, you can achieve everything by that. Krishna is the large reservoir, and that's all that is needed. But if you want to do research, there's a lot of work to do, a lot of Vedas to go through. So it's better just to accept the simple, direct understanding. Prabhupada says here, the clear statements from the Vedic literature. But Shankaracharya has an agenda. Now, Shankaracharya's agenda is to expedite or to hasten the advancement of Kali Yuga. Years, that is a long time. And there is a polarization of demons and devotees. We see it happening even now. It's going to get much more distinct, but it's happening even now. If one is looking, you can see how there are people who are, at least they're innocent, and they're looking for God, and they're not inimical. And out of those, out of millions of those, there's one who is a bhakta, self-realized bhakta. But then there's a whole other group. They're simply against God, they're against God's devotees, they're against Hare Krishna, they're also against Catholics or Protestants or Jews, or they're just out and out demons. And it's unfortunate, but it's a fact of life. They do exist, and it makes it very difficult for us to glorify Krishna. Saturday night, you know, you're going to go out to Harinam. And what are you doing? There's so much noise out there on the street. Horns honking, drills drilling the street, and people selling their wares, and, you know, music blaring. And all we want to do is glorify God, glorify His holy name. But there are people there who will come along in their paddy wagon and throw us in jail. They won't throw anybody else in jail. But we're disturbing the peace. What to do? Disturbing the peace, that's great. So Shankaracharya has created a, first of all, he's criticized Vyasadeva, saying Vyasadeva did not understand the absolute truth, and he's created a dichotomy that it is said that the absolute is one, the absolute is unchangeable, eternal, ever existing. He doesn't transform. He remains the one supreme Brahman. So Shankaracharya, where Vyasadeva says that Krishna transforms himself, so many manifestations, Shankaracharya says this is impossible. And although Vyasadeva draws from, and Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, they draw from the various Upanishads. The Vedanta Sutra is the summary of all the 108 Upanishads. So they draw from the original source and point out Parasya Shaktair Vividaiva Sruyate Svabhaviki Jnana Balakriya. So the Krishna does transform his energies. But Shankaracharya says this is a contradiction. It can't be possible. If God transforms, then he's not, as described in the Vedas, he's not unchanging. So he calls this Vivartavad, the theory of illusion, that the material world doesn't exist. In the Brahma Sutra, second chapter, the first aphorism is as follows, Sanskrit. Commenting on this sutra in his Sharirak Bhasha, Shankaracharya has introduced the statement, Sanskrit, from the Chandogya Upanishad, to tie 1.614, to try to prove that acceptance of the transformation of the energy of the Supreme Lord is faulty. He has tried to defy this transformation of energy in a misguided way, which will be explained later. Since his conception of God as impersonal, he does not believe that the entire cosmic manifestation is a transformation of the energies of the Lord. For as soon as one accepts the various energies of the Absolute Truth, one must immediately accept the Absolute Truth to be personal, not impersonal. A person can create many things by the transformation of his energy. For example, a businessman transforms his energy, establishing many big factories. Now, I've had this experience. When I first went to India, we would travel around. Especially in 1972, we got a letter from Mr. S.P. Singhi, who was G.P. Birla's right-hand man. G.P. Birla had many big factories, one of which was Hindalco. And see, Hindalco, where is that? I can't remember. Too long ago, 30 years ago. Anyway, what I do remember is going to his factory. And the factory was managed very well, and it turned out a good profit. But Mr. Birla was so old. Actually, it wasn't GP, it was GD Birla. It was so old that he hardly ever went there. He did go there from time to time. And the first thing he would do would go to the worker's bathroom, not because he had to defecate, but because he wanted to see how the factory was managed. So he'd go to the worker's bathroom, and he could understand from the level of cleanliness of the most insignificant thing, the rest of the factory was being maintained and managed. There are ways. But the point is that his energy, G.D. Babu, his energy was felt everywhere throughout the factory. It was like a mini cult. Mr. Birla, everybody had great reverence and fear for Mr. Birla. He had expanded his energy in such a way that he was existing in different places, but ultimately he was a person. Establishing many big factories or business organizations, yet he remains a person, although his energy has been transformed into these many factories or business concerns. The Mayavadi philosophers do not understand this simple fact. Their tiny brains and poor fund of knowledge cannot afford them sufficient enlightenment to realize that when a man's energy is transformed, the man himself is not transformed, but remains the same person. Prabhupada was great, you know. He was, to some people, he was quite a challenge, and even shocking, especially he would use the word rascal. Now, for us, rascal is, you know, it's not that bad a word. In fact, there was some cartoon group called the Little Rascals, it wasn't a cartoon, it was something like the Three Stooges, or this Mr. Bean, or you have Mr. Bean, or somebody Mr. Bean, okay. So something like that, the Little Rascals. But in India, if you call someone a rascal, it's a great, insult. But Prabhupada would regularly call Mayavadis rascals. And wouldn't use their names, but he would say anyone who thinks that he is God is a big rascal. People would come up and, Swamiji, you can't say that. Prabhupada would say, I don't say, Krishna says. Avajananti mam mudra. Yeah, he was expert. Not believing in the fact that the energy of the Absolute Truth is transformed, Shankaracharya has propounded his theory of illusion. This theory states that although the Absolute Truth is never transformed, we think that it is transformed, which is an illusion. Shankaracharya does not believe in the transformation of the energy of the Absolute Truth, for he claims that everything is one and that the living entity is therefore also one with the Supreme. This is the Mayavad theory. So, there is a great preponderance of this Mayavad philosophy. What goes under the title of Hinduism is more or less the influence of Mayavada. And the idea is that this material world, because God does not transform, therefore this is just, it's not the energy of God per se, it's simply a figment of our imagination. It's all an illusion. Isn't that a relief? material work, but Prabhupada comments, this is the cheating in their philosophy. This is the inconsistency. They claim that this material world has no
existence, that it has no substance, that it is simply false, that it is just a dream, false place. And many big people, they like the philosophy that I'm God, or that this material world is false. It sounds not exactly romantic, but esoteric, sort of esoteric, and because it's esoteric, it is enjoyable. In other words, you don't have to face a supreme. For example, I'll give you an example. While Mahadyuti was away in Mayapur, everybody thought life is like a dream. Because you didn't have to face any authority. Didn't have to surrender. But now that he's back, class has to end on time. And it's almost 8:30. So the Mayavadis, they love their philosophy, but they're so expert in enjoying the dream. And it's such an inconsistency. In fact, Mayavad theory is just, it's not much better, or maybe not much worse, let's put it that way, than a hobby. They want to say that it is all one big illusion. But if that's true, then anything you do is as good as any other thing you do. So why not eat money? It's all the same. So just eat money. Well, you have to take the money and go to the store and buy vegetables. So you still have to spend your money. But you can't get out of that. But you can't eat money. You know, have a, you know, like you have a lettuce salad or something. You know, we'll have a money salad and a little sour cream. You go to the store and you buy vegetables. That's practical. But they'll say it's all one. And devotees have fun. One of the first times that I really moved out as a preacher, I made a bold move, is I was giving a class in Bombay, and we didn't have a temple at that time. It was a little shed. Yet. So there was a regular group of people who were coming, maybe 10 or 15. But there was this one fellow who was invariably question time. His hand would go up and it was some kind of nonsense Mayavad question. So one day I just got upset and, you know, I did the old, is it all one? So that means that I am you and you are me and your watch is my watch. So give me my watch. So he actually gave me his watch because he didn't want to be embarrassed. But after the class he asked for it back and I said, no doing, no question. It's my watch and I'm you, so why should I give it back to me? So I kept it. He got angry, but I kept his watch. I was kind of wishing it was a gold Rolex, but it was just a cheap Indian watch. But anyway, I kept it. So we have about 3 minutes for questions and answers. Any questions or answers? Okay. Yes.
Mention how Shankaracharya was preaching to make cutting come to see that we'll look at his philosophy that should have something out of it.
We also see that
the Buddhist philosophy is like love.
So yes.
It's a step up.
Yes. Oh, well, good point. He says that the Lord Buddha appeared before Shankaracharya. So if Shankaracharya really wanted to hasten the onset of Kali Yuga, he would have come before Lord Buddha. I guess that's one of those silly kind of questions. I can give a silly answer to. I think they had some agreement or something. You know, I don't know. Yeah, any other questions? Yes. Relationship, yes. Put your hand on your heart when you say that word, please. Yeah. There is love, yeah. I love me. The problem is, I remember once when I was young and I had a small pharmaceutical business, I was living with a group of other pharmaceutical dealers, and I was really disturbed about the material world, the suffering and pain, and especially I was disturbed with, and there was a book that even came out called The Games People Play, and it seemed that people would go to great lengths to establish their own ego in the world at the expense of others, and they had no problems about lying or cheating or anything. And then, you know, play games, social games, and all kinds of games with each other. So I asked a friend, you know, why do they do this? What do they think about the pain and suffering they're causing? And it may have been the only wise thing that he ever said in his life, but he said, actually, you know, people don't think. That's the problem. So, so-called Mayavadi, I don't even want to call them philosophers, because philosophy needs a brain to digest and so. None of them are going to the forest to follow Shankaracharya. In fact, he wouldn't even take householders. You had to be a sannyasi before you could approach him. I think we have de facto Mayavadis who are disqualified from being anything. They're just mudhas. They're just rascals. you know, we call them Mayavadis because if you had to give a description to their train of thought, that's what it would be. But as actual transcendentalists, I mean, I remember a lecture in Bombay. Prabhupada was giving a lecture again in our little small temple, and this Mayavadi sannyasi came And Prabhupada offered him respect, had one of us bring a seat, and he sat down right beside Prabhupada on a chair. I mean, he was a bit of an ascetic, and obviously Prabhupada was A, teaching us how to deal with respectable Mayavadis, and B, maybe the man did have some sincerity. Grantharaj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.